Well, I'm so excited that you're here to join me for Voice of Breakthrough, this podcast. So we are going to hit some powerful topics. Every single week, we will be having a new podcast with a new topic. So get ready. I'm telling you, this is great to exercise to. This is powerful to listen to when you're cleaning your house or cooking that dinner or cutting the grass, but you can turn up loud on your little iPhone or whatever you have there. Anyway, you're going to love this powerful, life-changing, every single week podcast of Voice of Breakthrough. All right, so tonight we're going to look at what God has to say about not making yourself the priority and how to deal with the things in your heart that try to take care of you. Amen? Come on, folks. People try to take care of themselves. So let's go first to the part of what God says we're supposed to do that we're still praying to be able to do. And I'm talking to myself. Matthew 5. This is really a hard one. All right, and let's start with Matthew 5:33. And this is Jesus speaking. Amen. Again, you have heard that it was said to the ancients, "You shall not swear falsely, but you shall give your oaths to the Lord." But I say to you, do not swear at all, neither by heaven, because it's God's throne, nor by the earth, because it's the footstool of his feet, nor by Jerusalem, because it's the city of the great king. Nor shall you swear by your head, because you are not able to make one hair white or black. This was before L'Oreal and Clairol was invented. But the truth is, you can only temporarily change it. You can't really make it white or black. He says, let your word be yes, yes, no, no. Now listen, for the excess of these is from evil. And this wasn't really the message, but it's right here with this. And the Lord's saying, when you start justifying, when you start coming up with all these reasons, when you start working everything out in your head and around, you're getting into a place of evil. God says, don't swear, don't judge, and do not go back and forth and try to work it out. Let your yes be yes and your no be no. Make up your mind, led by God, and stick with it. Amen? And when you go beyond that, you're getting into evil. Then he goes, you have heard that it was said an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I say to you, do not resist the evil. But whoever strikes you on the right cheek, turn the other to them also. Let me see what the word resist there is, because we're supposed to resist the enemy. So I have a feeling this is a different word than that. This is to stand against. What he's basically saying here is, don't spend your time arguing and standing against somebody. You resist the devil, right? Not people. You resist the devil, not people. Okay, let's say that again. You resist the devil, not people. Resist the devil, what happens to him? He flees. So when it comes to people, he says, do not resist, you know, the evil. Don't resist what's going on. Don't fight it. But whoever strikes you on the right cheek, turn the other to them also. How many of this is really hard stuff? I mean, I have not arrived into this place. To him desiring to sue you and take your tunic, give him your coat. How many could say we really need Holy Spirit to keep working in us? What is God kind of saying with these? Like, don't get bogged down in stuff. Don't become evil because somebody attacks your person. And don't become evil because somebody attacks your stuff. So somebody asks you to give and wishing to borrow from you, don't turn them away. You have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies, bless those cursing you, do well to those hating you, and pray for those abusing and persecuting you, so that you may become sons of your Father in heaven. He causes the sun to rise on the evil and the good, and sends rain on the just and the unjust. For if you love those loving you, what reward do you have? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? And if you only greet your brothers, what exceptional thing do you do? Do not the tax collectors do so? Therefore, you be perfect, even as your Father in heaven is perfect. And what he's really talking about here is do not let evil in your heart. So if the enemy's trying to get you to be greedy and I'm not giving you that, God says, don't give in to that. Don't give in to that evil. Just say, I don't care. Take it all. If somebody's trying to back you in a corner and they, now remember, this is not talking about brothers in the Lord, all right? This is talking about attacks of evil that are trying to create you in what the enemy wants, okay? And so God says, when you see this coming at you, you have to get to a place where you don't, you're not trying to protect yourself, you're not trying to protect your stuff, right? And you're not trying to protect your money. Everybody's so quiet. Isn't this fun on a Tuesday? Okay, sometimes it's really good to hear what Jesus says, all the time it is, right? But to really say, wow, I've got a ways to go here. Because I mean, like, I would really want to punch them. I'm like, okay, I wouldn't want to punch them, but I wouldn't want them to hit me twice. And the Lord doesn't want them to hit you twice either. He just doesn't want you to attack the enemy using the enemy. He wants you to deal with the issues of your heart that says this would be really hard. All right? And when you learn to love like this, when you learn to bless when you're cursed, and you can do this. I need to bless right now. I'm being cursed. I need to bless right now. I'm being cursed. I need to bless right now. I need to do well to those who hate me. I need to pray for those abusing me and persecuting me so that I can become a son or daughter to my Father in heaven. So one thing you can look at with this little scripture, we'll get into something a little deeper in a minute. He's talking about those who really want to be perfect. Everybody's like, I don't know if I got to go for perfection here. How many can really look at this and say, you know what, I'm not perfect. But you can think of certain people like Heidi Baker and different ones who really live all this amazingly. I mean, if your biggest concern after the hurricane was how would I replace all my stuff, you need to really get before the Lord and really realize, wow, look what he says about stuff. Look what he says about money. Look what he says even about people attacking. Look what he says to do. All right, so this is when the enemy is attacking. And I took you here first because this is like really... God saying, you want to be perfect? How about this? Don't you love Jesus? You think you've done so well, right? You quit cussing, you know, and you're kinder than you used to be, you know, and things don't get to you like they used to. You don't scream and yell. And then he tells you this. And you go, wow. Help. When everything's like that, Jesus, only you can make this real. So now turn with me. And let's look at this other part when we're talking about, now this is to brothers. I'll just read 2 Corinthians 12. Really, to boast is not profitable to me. This is Paul speaking, for I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord. I know a man in Christ 14 years ago. I don't know whether he's in the body. I don't know. I don't know if he's out of the body. I do not know. God knows. But such a one was caught up into the third heaven. And if you want to hear about that, you need to come on Friday nights. That's when we talk about the deeper meat, okay? He goes, I know such a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I don't know, God knows, but he was caught up into paradise and heard unspeakable words which a man is not permitted to speak. On behalf of such a one as that, he's actually talking about himself, I will boast. But I will not boast on my own behalf, except in my weaknesses. For if I desire to boast, I will not be foolish, for I speak truth. But I spare, lest anyone reckons me to be beyond what he sees me or hears anything of me. It says, by the superabundance of the revelations that I not be made arrogant. Okay, let me just say this. This is a really good one as you're growing in God and maturing in God, especially if you're coming on Friday nights and hearing the deeper stuff and getting into the prophetic and really crying out for apostolic. What is Paul saying here? He's saying, so that I would not become arrogant. So what does that mean can happen to us if God starts really invading our lives in an awesome way with revelations and understanding and teachings and things that take us deep in the things of God? What, according to this, according to Paul, is a possibility that could happen? We'd become arrogant. Wow, we could all list off people that applies to, and our name would be at the top of the list. Amen? Some of you are like, well, I've never had a revelation yet. Okay, well, just know. So there's this arrogance. There's feeling better about yourself because of what God's doing and showing you. Believe me, whatever God ever gives you, he's giving it to you for his body. He's giving it to you for his body. He's not giving it to you because you're so special. He does want to find people, like we just read about, who want to be perfect. He wants to find people who want to be mature. He wants to find people that their yes is yes and their no is no. He wants to find people that he can give these kind of revelations to. But Paul's saying, look, I had these revelations. He goes, look, I'm not even going to use my name in this. But basically, I was caught up into the third heavens. I don't even know if my body went or not. I just know God told me things I cannot even tell anyone. And Paul is just saying, I really had some powerful experiences with God. How many would like that? I hope you do. I hope you get hungry to go beyond just getting by day. I hope some of you get stirred up to want to come on Fridays when we really are going after the deeper things of God. And let me tell you this, you cannot skip letting God deal with your heart issues. Amen? You've got to let God heal you and sanctify you so that you can go into the deeper places. Amen? You need to be able to go there without the enemy being able to get in and mess you up. Amen? So it goes together. I want to be sanctified. I want to be holy. You can read all of Corinthians 1 and 2 and see that Paul had talked to this church about some heavy-duty stuff about cleaning up their acts. Amen? Before he even told them about these revelations. All right. He says, look, he's saying, I want to boast. I don't want to look foolish. I don't want you to think more about me than you ought to. He says, but by superabundance of revelations, so that I not be made arrogant, a thorn in my flesh was given to me, a messenger of Satan, that he might buffet me, that I not be made haughty. How many see the mercy of God? Wouldn't it be nice? First of all, it'd be awesome to get to such a place that we need it, a messenger of Satan, to keep us from being puffed up because of the revelations that God has given us. You hear people use this all the time. I'm like, well, what was your revelation? Well, this cancer is, it's a messenger of Satan. What was your great revelation? First of all, it doesn't say Satan uses cancer, period. But that's the stuff you hear people say, right? So, well, could you tell me your great revelation? What was this great revelation? How many out-of-body experiences have you actually had with God? How many deep things have we, how many know? It's time to get hungry. Amen. It's time to get hungry. Lord, people, let's get hungry to be everything God's called us to be, to experience God, to experience the prophetic, to live in a place where God is so real that you actually have encounters with God. And encounters with God can make you arrogant and haughty. The word haughty means you put everybody else down because of what you've experienced. We got teaching and all that on the web. Amen? And he says, God is not going to allow him to be arrogant and haughty and encounter the true and living God. And therefore, Satan is able to attack him. What opened the door for Satan to attack him? His pride and his haughtiness. Amen? So he's basically saying, I'm prideful and haughty because of these revelations. And therefore, in the way God has set everything up, because God's merciful, amen? And in the kingdom, Satan's allowed to attack you folks if you get haughty and prideful and arrogant because of what God's doing. How cool is God? Amen? How cool is God? Why? Because God does not want the things he does in our lives and the things he does for us to cause us to go to hell. Now, why would God think such a thing could happen? Because of Lucifer. Lucifer got prideful over all the revelations and all the power and things he walked in to such a place that he deceived a third of the angels in heaven who knew the Lord. And we talked about this before. Don't underestimate the power of deception that Satan has. Even after Jesus Christ reigns on the earth for 1,000 years, Paul Keith Davis talked about this when we listened on Friday, and you need to come to Friday nights, they're really awesome. But after 1,000 years, and it's funny, I just got done saying this to somebody. I said, one of the scariest things is a large group of the population on planet Earth under perfect, perfect leadership still followed the enemy once he was let out of the pit to deceive more people. How many know the only way not to be deceived is let God deal with your heart issues and quit being arrogant and quit being puffed up and quit blaming everything on spiritual warfare and recognize, well, I have a God who cares so much about me that if I start getting arrogant and I start getting puffed up and I start walking away from my relationship with God, the enemy has permission through spiritual law to buffet me. In other words, to bug me. All right, he goes on. He goes, I entreated the Lord 3 times, please get this thing away from me. And he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is perfected in weakness. I just want people to understand, sufficient grace means it takes care of it. Remember, grace is God's supernatural power and ability and everything about him to bring forth the promises in your life. So God's saying, look, my promises, the power that I am, that the Lord is, that he walks in, is going to take care of you. Amen? It doesn't say you got to have this forever because you're having encounters with me. The Lord doesn't say that. The enemy was allowed to attack. Why? Because in Paul's own knowing, I'm getting haughty and I'm getting arrogant. I'm not treating people the way I should. I'm thinking more highly of myself than I ought to. I'm putting other ministries down. I'm putting other people down. I'm putting other things down. What an awesome God to have it set up in spiritual law, in the kingdom laws, that the enemy has just seen a demonstration of himself in you, and so he can come and buffet you. He can come and make things tough on you. So I just recommend, when you start getting buffeted by the enemy, run to God and deal with arrogance and haughtiness. Amen. And we got lots of teaching to help you there. As I got to go there. All right. He says, my grace is sufficient for my power is perfected in weakness. What does it mean? It means Paul needed God's power. Paul needed God to move into the situation. Paul needed God to open doors. Paul needed God to get him out of prison. Paul needed God to undo and change what the enemy kept hitting. Amen. And God didn't say, I can't do it. He said, my grace is sufficient. I'm going to do this. I'm going to take care of this. So what is God forming in all of us? He's forming Christ in us. Amen? This isn't about this wonderful walk where we get all puffed up and we have these great encounters with God. You know, if you're having encounters with God, it's going to try to produce haughtiness and pride in you. Arrogance. Amen? And God's not going to allow that to happen. So when you see that happening in people, there could be a possibility that that's not encounters with the true and living God. God's a God is like, you know, I want to show you these things and we're going to, I want you to experience this stuff. I want you to enjoy me. I want you to know my ways. I want you to see me face to face. I want to do these things. But I've set it up that this is going to try to mess you up. And you're going to become prideful. You're going to become arrogant. You're going to think you're all that in a bag of potato chips. So the enemy's going to be able to attack you because of those heart issues. Amen? But God says, but when you cry out, no, my grace is sufficient. My power is going to be seen in your weakness. You're going to recognize me. You're going to be humbled. You're going to be humbled. How many have ever needed God's power in situations you could not understand that you got yourself into? And when you see his power and his grace on your behalf, and you recognize that you needed to cry out for mercy, amen? Then don't you get this yay about God? Don't you get this, my awesome daddy God is going to rescue me even when I got myself in a mess. Even when I was doing things I didn't know I was doing, but then I find out. Even when I'm, how many know our God is awesome? Amen? How many know our God is awesome? Spiritual law is real and God has it set up. And Satan is allowed on planet Earth because God, believe it or not, uses him. By letting him exist, so that you as a believer have a place to run and hide. You have as a believer, you learn to overcome. Amen. You learn to overcome because you really have something to overcome. If the enemy was not on the planet, you would have nothing to overcome. You'd have your flesh, but if you didn't have the enemy attacking because of your flesh, you'd probably hang out in your flesh. And you wouldn't become like your Father in heaven, right? So I just want us to get into this higher way of thinking about the kingdom of God. He knows what he's doing. God knows what he's doing. And he's after one thing. He wants us to be sons and daughters. He wants us to be mature sons and daughters. He wants us not to be like the enemy. He doesn't want us arrogant. He doesn't want us haughty and then spiritualizing it. And so the things that were happening to Paul made it hard for him to spiritualize it. He's in prison. He's arrested. This happens everywhere he goes. He can't go where he wants to go. Satan won't let him go. There's a spirit stopping him. All these things are happening if you study his life, right? Where he really is buffered. Everywhere he goes, he can't get around it. All right. He's got to cry out to God and cry out to God. There's one time you hear Paul say, he was in a situation that was so horrible that they actually had hoped to die. And they thought it was impossible for God to rescue them. And God rescued them. So can we get the understanding that being a Christian is not this nice walk in the park? Amen? Can we get the understanding that our brothers and sisters in other nations that are really suffering persecution and all are real brothers and sisters in the Lord, and a watered-down version of the gospel doesn't help them? Amen? Let's be bigger picture believers. What's the number one thing you want? My number one thing that I want is to have eternal life and my family have eternal life. That's the number one thing that I want. Amen? That's the number one thing. If my kids don't have it easy, but they get eternal life, then praise God. If my kids get it easy and they don't get eternal life, something's really wrong. Quit protecting your kids from what they need to deal with to get it right with God. Right? Get the bigger picture. When my daughter went to be with the Lord at 7, thank God I had the bigger picture. Instead of like, oh, bitterness, I'm like, oh, God, we're going to miss her. Help us through this. Lord, we need you. But there was this understanding, I will see her again. Her life just became perfect. Because, oh, they miss so much. Boy, if you think they miss anything, you don't even have a clue about God. Amen? And I know it's hard when our kids go through something. I know it's hard. But we've got to pray. We have to let the prodigal hit the end of it so they turn to God. We've got to speak truth in love. We've got to be led by the Spirit of God. Amen? Same with our spouses. Same with our parents. Same with anyone. We've got to see the bigger picture. This isn't what I was planning on preaching, but I'm preaching it. We've got to see the bigger picture. So he says, I would rather boast in my weaknesses that the power of Christ may overshadow me. Wow. Begin to boast in what you can't do and let God overshadow you. Quit being so self-conscious. You know, I can't pronounce words. When I can't pronounce people's names, I'm not kidding. I can't pronounce your names. You know, I can't hear certain sounds. And I'm going to still preach. Amen. I'm going to preach. I'll change words sometimes. I'll talk really fast. I'll use a different translation if I have to. Amen. But I'm going to preach. I'm not going to not preach because I have a weakness in pronunciating words. Amen. I'm just not. I understand what the words are. You actually got to get kind of fast in your thinking to come up with another word without looking it up and still have the same meaning. Amen? You have to sit there and quit dwelling on the poor you and boast on that. Boast on how poor you were as a child. Boast on if you had problems learning. Boast at how big and how much you overcame. And look at life different. Amen? This is telling out my message. Look at life different. I haven't even got to it yet. All right. I guess so, because I only have an hour now. Oh. I want the power of Christ to overshadow me. If you want the power of Christ to overshadow you, boast in your weaknesses. Because of this, I am pleased in weakness and insults and needs and persecution, distresses for the sake of Christ. For when I am weak, then I am powerful. Why? Because God has got to come in and show off. God has got to come in and make things work. God has got to come in and do the healing. He's got to get you the job. He's got to get you the promotion. He's got to save the relationship. When we are weak, then God moves in because we know we need him. Then he comes in and he glorifies himself. Amen? He goes, I've been foolish. You compelled me, for I ought to have been commended by you, for I lack nothing of the highest apostles, even though I am nothing. Truly the signs of the apostles were worked out among you in patience, miraculous signs, wonders, by works of power. This isn't the message, so I'm not going to stop there. That's a Friday night message. For what is it which you were less than the rest of the assemblies, except that I myself did not burden you? Forgive me this wrong. He's being sarcastic. God probably got him for that later. Behold, I am ready to come to you a third time. I will not burden you, for I do not seek your things. I do not seek your things. Can we get it out of our heart at seeking things of envy? Get it out of our heart. Ask God, get this out of my heart. Get this out of my heart. I've told this before. One time I would keep everything and not want to give it away, and I would be thinking like, well, what if I gain weight? I would need this. Or if I lose weight, I don't have to buy it again. And I kind of got into that. And you know what the Lord said? He goes, Cindy, I could take care of this with a fire. It can all be gone. People in Houston right now, it's all gone. I said, no, I get it. I just give it to you. There's no life in things. There's nothing important about things. I don't have to hoard up things. I don't have to have another place to do it. I want to be free from it. I want to be able to give them away. I want them to belong to you. I want you to set me free. We live in a culture that's very big in idolatry when it comes to stuff. We need to get free from that. Okay, let me keep going. Oh, I got to go fast. I do not seek your things but you. God says relationship's important, not the stuff. Relationship is important, not the stuff. For the children ought not to lay up treasures for their parents, but the parents for their children. But I will most gladly spend and be spent for your souls, even if loving you more and more, I am loved less. But let it be so. I did not burden you. I wasn't crafty. No, so, but being crafty, I took you with bait. By any whom I have sent to you, did I overreach you by him? He's saying, did I use anybody to take advantage of you? God wants us to get taken advantage of people out of our hearts. He wants us to get taken advantage of people. We can't look at people and see, what can they do for me? We can't look at people and see, oh, this will help be helpful. We can't use people. Guys, this is talking to brothers. Before we told you what he said about enemies, go the extra mile, give them this, do whatever. In the church, in the brotherhood of Christ, he says, Paul's like, I'm not going to overreach you. I'm not going to take advantage of you. Some people will just give and give and give. Praise God. But don't take advantage of them. What's going on in your heart? What is going on in your heart? It's funny how he talks about too much stuff. At the same time, he talks about overreaching, taking advantage of. I used to be able to do it. I used to be able to figure out how I come out okay and you come out okay and everybody's okay. But it was conniving. It was sneaky. Instead of, okay, God, you take care of me and let me care more about taking care of them. I'm not saying I've arrived. Amen? How many know we can get to a place and then stuff happens and it all kind of tries to come back? Amen? God wants us to deal with this stuff. Stuff doesn't matter. Relationships matter. That's what Paul's saying. I don't want your stuff. I didn't come for your stuff. It's you. It's you that matter. I don't want your money. I don't want you, what you can do to help me. It's you as a human being that matters. It should be your children that matter because they're human beings, not what they can do. It should be the same if you have a spouse. Let me just go further. You shouldn't even be looking for a spouse if it's what they can do for you. God doesn't want you overreaching somebody to get somebody to meet your needs. He's all that you need. Amen? Everybody's happy now. I thought this was a new season. Same preaching, just got to do an hour. So it's going to be more intense. I can't be as cute. All right. He said, by whom have I sent to you? Did any of them overreach you? I begged Titus and sent the brother, and I sent the brother with him. Did Titus overreach you? Did we not walk in the same spirit? Do we not walk in the same steps? Again, do you think we are defending ourselves to you? We speak before God in Christ, but in all things for your building up, beloved. For at least I fear somehow coming, I not find you as I wish, and I be found by you such as you do not wish. Lest somebody there be strife. He said, that when there's strifes, envy, and, oh, we don't have time. We're going to pick this up next week, okay? Where there's strifes, envy, anger, rivalries, evil speaking, whispering, puffing up. Puffing up's flattery to get somebody to do what you want. To be able to take advantage and use somebody somehow. Disturbances, that it not be in my having come again, may God humble me with you, and I shall mourn many of those having previously sinned and not having repented over the uncleanness, fornication, lustful acts which they have practiced. We're not going to get into all that. Not with a few minutes. So we're going to do, I may not be exactly on time, I'm going to try. I want to do an inner healing. I want to heal a brokenhearted place because we grow up thinking we have to take care of self. We grow up with, you know, seeing other people get things and we're not getting things. And people grow up with all these hurt places and they take things in to deal with things. So let's all close our eyes. Wow. Let's everybody close your eyes. I just want you to see yourself in a situation where you felt like, as a child, whoa, you weren't going to be taken care of. Holy Spirit might show you a very specific thing. He might show you where somebody made fun of something, whatever. Let him show you, and if we don't have time right now, then spend some time alone with him. Or when we get in groups, pray about it. And let God show you a place where you felt like your stuff wasn't as good or you couldn't take, you know, you weren't going to be taken care of, or you better take care of this yourself. And I just get this silly picture that I always get with this, the Lord show me. But for us, my mom made this really good fried chicken. She hasn't made it in a long time. I mean, she made real fried chicken, you know, the kind that got grease all over the kitchen. And we had a big family, and y'all know my family. We're all pretty loud and not shy. Five kids, not a shy one. And so everybody would grab the chicken as it's going by. And I'd always have this fear that I really liked chicken. I didn't like anything else. I was a very picky eater. And I wouldn't get the chicken. So I'd always try to figure out how to get close to get the chicken. And it could be anything. You didn't have as many clothes as other kids did. did in school. There's so many things. You didn't have the tennis shoes other people have. Whatever it is, it's something where you felt that you had better take care of self. And you took on all this stuff to try to do it. And here's what the Lord's showing me. He's showing me this big table. And he's sitting there smiling. And there is so much chicken on this table. And as soon as you take the last piece off of the platter, the entire platter fills back up. You couldn't eat all this chicken if I wanted to. For some of you, I'm seeing the Lord, and it's like you're just walking into heaven, and you're looking around at these buildings that are amazing. You're looking in to rooms that are beyond anything you could even see on television when they do those shows for the millionaires. It's like amazing. The streets are gold. You've never seen so much beautiful things in your whole life. And Jesus is just smiling. And he's saying, it's yours. There's plenty. It's yours. There's plenty. It's yours. There's plenty. I just want you to raise your hands up to your Heavenly Father. And I just feel the Lord just pouring out, it's yours. There's plenty. Just wait for it. Just serve me. Just serve me. Love people. Love people. Just love people. You have forever being wealthier, having more than anyone could ever imagine on planet Earth. Everything that your Father has is yours. Everything. Everything that your Father has is yours. Everything. Everything that your Father has is yours. And I just hear the Lord speaking to us, deny yourself now and follow me. Deny yourself now and follow me. Deny yourself now and follow me. And this is kind of cute. I'm seeing everybody standing there and you're looking at a shadow of yourself. And you're pointing at the shadow of yourself and you say, yourself, I'm denying you. You're going to get what God gives you and you're going to be so grateful. You're going to go where God takes you and you're going to be so grateful. You're not going to compare yourself to anyone else. Yourself, you are not going to be in charge. You are going to be satisfied yourself with whatever God gives you. You're going to be satisfied yourself even when you have nothing. You are going to be satisfied yourself because I'm denying myself and following Jesus. And if he chooses to give me that home or those clothes or that, it's fine. It's his choice. But I don't need it. And I choose to give him all of my heart and bring him into every relationship that I have so that people can find him. Father, I just ask by your Holy Spirit that you make this so real for us tonight that we will see that image of ourselves, our little shadow, whoa, and we'll say, no, I'm denying self. You're not in charge. You're not going to make me angry at this. You're not going to make me greedy. You're not going to make me want something that belongs. You're not going to make me envious. You're not going to make me anything. I'm denying you because I'm hanging on to Jesus. And while I'm on this earth, I'm here for relationships that I can have eternally with God. I'm here seeking whom I can influence by the power of God in my life to become part of the family of God. That's my focus. That's my focus when I talk to people. That's my focus when I look at things. That's my focus. God, set me free from the love of money. Set me free from the love of stuff. Set me free from greed. Let me free from selfishness. Set me free from even thinking in a way to take advantage of anybody. Lord, let me be the person who, if they ask for my whatever, my sweater, I'll give them my coat. Wow. God, make it so real. Make it so real that I can deny self and completely enjoy following you, completely enjoy what you do give me, completely enjoy the lifestyle you choose for me, completely enjoy every moment of my life. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Wow. Wow, I feel that. Isn't it cool when God gives us that little picture of the shadow of ourselves? And we can look at that and say, you know what? I'm denying you. I'd have something to literally do when something gets up in our face, wanting us to be jealous, wanting us to be envious, wanting us to have something, wanting us to try to wiggle things around. Amen? That we can say, no, I'm denying self and I'm trusting God. Does that mean God's not going to give you anything? No, it means he's going to give you what he wants to give you. Amen? Can you get it? If you knew that if you lived here and God placed you, even like someone's daughter, I won't say the name on the web, in a third world nation, and you have nothing except a little bit of money that comes in a month because you're a missionary, and you're totally yay about that because of God's grace, amen? But to know that when you get to heaven, you're going to have more than the greatest millionaire down here. And you won't even care about it there, or he wouldn't give it to you. Amen? Now, if you love this teaching, and you better say you love this teaching, then we want you to check out our web at beautyforashes.org. There is so much teaching there, and there's a resource library there. And also, check out my Facebook page at Cindy Foster Beauty for Ashes Ministry. We'd love you to partner with us and come along for the ride into the apostolic. God bless you.